Let us turn again to the chapter of God's Word that we read together. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, and let us consider now verse 15. Deuteronomy 18 and at verse 15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, like unto me, and to him ye shall hearken. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, and to him ye shall hearken. Moses is here, going over, at least that is what is true in the whole, going over the history and the commandments that God had given since they had come out from Egypt. They were on their way to the land of Canaan, and they would have many ungodly examples before them there. And in particular, they were being warned against making use of wizards or witches or anything of that nature, sorcerers. There's various names used, but the basic idea that they were warned against was to be seeking to make contact with spirits. And that would be a case of making contact with evil spirits. And that is not unknown today. And we are to take this as an example of the sort of thing we are to be watchful about. But these nations were listening to people who claimed to be in contact with spirits. But the Lord had not suffered, had not allowed Israel to do so. And going on from that, what we have is a promise that the Lord would raise up a prophet, a particular prophet. There were prophets that the Lord was sending out, but Moses had a particular place among the prophets. And Moses is acting as a prophet here, and a prophet is someone who comes before people in this world on behalf of God. He has a message to give. Moses came before the people of Israel with a message from God. He did that repeatedly, not just once, but repeatedly. But here is a promise of a greater prophet. He was to be a prophet like Moses in certain ways. And he was to be raised up by God himself. He was to be raised up from among the brethren of Moses, in other words, from among the children of Israel. And if we go on to the New Testament, then we should be in no doubt but that the prophet, the translators have given the word prophet a capital. They are pointing us in the right direction. to recognize that this is not an ordinary prophet, even an ordinary prophet sent by God, sent from God or sent by God. And there were plenty of false prophets. If there's anything good, if there's any gift that God gives, the devil will be bringing out imitations. And you have that again and again in this world. There are good things to be had. I mean, good in the sense perhaps of useful or attractive. And people think of making a bit of money by imitating these things. There's a product, it sells well. It has a good reputation. But somebody unscrupulous brings forth some imitation, hoping to cash in on the good product. And this imitation product may not be particularly good. It may be of a lesser quality. There may be shortcuts taken in the way it's put together. Well, what I'm trying to illustrate is that when God gives a prophet, there will be imitation prophets. There was that in the times of the Old Testament in particular. And when the Lord raises up preachers to go out in his name, then there are what we might call imitation preachers. They're not bringing a message from God as a preacher ought to do. They're bringing their own ideas. The devil is at their elbow influencing them to think wrongly, to speak wrongly. But what you have here is the Lord was to raise up a prophet like Moses, a prophet of whom Moses was a pattern. And what was said was, "Unto him ye shall hearken." Now, I don't think we're to take that as a statement of fact. Now, let me be careful in the way I express myself. But what I mean is, it's not a statement of what would happen, because so often, so much in the history of Israel and of the church beyond the coming of Christ, they did not hearken. They did not listen to what this great prophet, to what Christ Jesus had to say. I take it that what has been said here is by way of a direction. It's telling him that they are to hearken to Christ, they are to listen to Christ. It's telling us that we are to listen to Christ. Here is the great prophet that Christ, that God has sent. Here is Christ, a prophet. To him ye shall hearken. That's what we're to do, we're to be listening. When we're here under the word of God, we're to be listening. Listening to whom? Listening to the preacher. Well, yes. But what is the preacher to say? What should the preacher be saying? He should be giving the message that Christ is the great prophet of the church, the great teacher. That's what he should be setting forth. That's what he should be saying as an ambassador for Christ. You see, there's the prophet, the great prophet. The great prophet is on the throne of glory. He sends out his ambassadors. And his ambassadors, yes, they have his authority. They are to speak in his name. But going beyond that, his ambassadors have a responsibility to speak according to what they are given to speak. What are they given to speak? the whole counsel of God. That's what the great prophet is giving to the church and to the ambassadors to speak in his name. Well, let us try, first of all, to say a little about our need of a prophet. That's the first thing. The second thing is that God has made provision of a prophet. That prophecy given by Moses as a type of Christ has been fulfilled. Christ has come into the world as a prophet and other things. But he has in particular come into the world as a prophet. He's ascended to heaven. He's on the throne of glory as a prophet. And if we speak about Christ on the throne of glory, we're saying about him that he has authority. And in the third place, our duty to make use of this prophet. There's no use as saying, there's a prophet, if we don't make use of it. We might hear all sorts of interesting things about features in this world, about particular places and significant things about them. It's interesting. We might be fascinated, but very often there's no responsibility on us to do anything about it. We can forget it in the next moment and we'll not do anybody any harm. We'll not do any harm for ourselves. But you see, there's a prophet. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet. The prophet has been raised up. Can we just say that's something interesting? That's something that was good for people in various ages. Perhaps there's still people today who think in these terms. There's a duty on us. When God has spoken, we are to be asking ourselves, and in some things more particularly than others, there's a duty on us to make use of this prophet. There was Mary. She sat at the feet of Jesus. The prophet had come to her home. Martha was concerned about the prophet, that he would have something to eat, something nice to eat, no doubt. Mary was going a step further. She was sitting at his feet. She was listening as the Savior was pouring out wonderful things. He had come to the house in Bethany. Perhaps very likely Lazarus was there too, but we're not told that. But Mary was there and she was listening, you see, because the Savior was in the house, because this prophet was in the house, she had a duty to listen. And when... Well, can take it a step further, though I don't want to delay at this stage. But you see, we're in the house of God. There are people gathered here in his name. And where two or three are gathered together in his name, Christ has promised to be there. So the prophet is here, as he is present spiritually in every place of worship where there are two or three gathered in his name. So there's a duty following that. If Christ is here, there's a duty upon us to be listening. But let us go back to the beginning. First, human need. Second, God's provision of a prophet. A human need, I should emphasize just now in this particular context, human need of a prophet, and then in the third place, our duty to make use of the prophet. First then, our need of a prophet. Now, we need Christ in many, many ways, but the particular matter before us just now is our need of a prophet. Our need of a prophet. Our need of one who can teach us. Who can teach us inwardly. And in particular, one who can show us the way to heaven. We need someone who can show us the way to heaven. That's what we need. We've got many needs. We need Christ as a priest to offer up a sacrifice that will satisfy divine justice. We need Christ as an intercessor to appear before God on our behalf. We need Christ as a king to rule over us and to defend us, and so on. And all of these can be broken up into more particular needs. But we need Christ as a prophet to show us the way to heaven, to show us our way through this world. We need Christ. And Solomon and Ecclesiastes speaks of the labor of the foolish, that it wearies every one of them, because he knoweth not how to go to the city. What a weariness if people are going this way and that way and tiring themselves out. They need to get to a particular city and they don't know the way. They need someone to guide them. And what a weariness it becomes if people are wanting to know the way to heaven. They don't know the way. They're kind of serious about it. But they're not getting anywhere. It's all very wearisome, they feel. Well, we need a prophet. We need someone to bring, as it were, from heaven, the teaching that we need. And you see, it's not just that we would have the teaching, and you can illustrate that from the case of the Ethiopian eunuch, and Philip is sent to him. Loosely, an under-prophet. And where Philip was to go, the great prophet was going with him. And he catches up with, miraculously, he catches up with the Ethiopian. He is brought miraculously where he was in his chariot on his way home, making good use of his time, reading a scroll of the prophecy of Isaiah. He's reading what we would recognize as chapter 53. And Philip asked the pertinent question, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" The particular verse is mentioned. He needs to understand it. Philip puts his finger on that particular point. "Do you understand?" he asks. And he says, "How can I, except some man should guide me? I need someone to come and teach me." Well, the Lord has sent him a man who can teach. The Lord has sent him is someone to guide. And he began at that scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Jesus as a Savior. What the man needs, and the man believes. But our point just now is this, that he needs a teacher. Now, it's not but that the Lord is able to use his word directly. And he has done that many a time. But his normal way of working is that we would have a teacher, that we would have a prophet. And not just outward teaching, though that's important. It's not just that we would have a minister to preach the gospel, to try to expound the scripture and so on. It's this, that there would be one who has access to our souls. That's particularly what we need. We need one like Moses. Moses didn't have access to anyone's soul. But still, you see, he was a type of Christ, as we'll come to notice yet, I trust. But we need someone. Let us be conscious of that. Our need of someone who can speak into our souls, who can influence our souls. Yes, there's plenty said about influencers these days. We should be very careful about ungodly people having an influence on us. But you see, here is one who was influenced, blessed influence. And we should be concerned that there would be that blessed influence on our souls. Christ working by the Holy Spirit. We need that. Yes. Now, let us notice this about our need. Then Moses goes on to speak about the desire that the people expressed in Horeb. When the Lord was speaking from Mount Sinai, they asked, "Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire anymore, that I die not." They were afraid of dying, sinners that they were. They were afraid of dying. That, you see, there was fear in their hearts when they heard this glorious voice in these circumstances, the mountain on fire, and so on. There was all that was intended to bring a solemnity to the people that they were hearing the commandments, commandments that they couldn't keep. Oh, let us have a mediator. And Moses is provided as a mediator. But as far as we're going just now, it's just this, our need and the consciousness that these people had of an intermediary between themselves and God. Now you see, the provision that God has made is of an intermediary, one to stand between sinners and God. And that's what we're coming on to now. God's provision of a prophet. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. You see, Moses was a prophet. Moses was provided as a mediator, an intermediary. The people were wanting Moses to speak to them, rather than that they would hear the voice of God directly. They were afraid. Of course, that had its own lessons, but perhaps we should not go out on that particularly just now. But you have back in chapter 5 what Moses is saying about himself. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to show you the word of the Lord, for you were afraid. I stood between the Lord and you. That was an answer to the plea of the people for a mediator. The Lord appointed Moses as an intermediary to stand between the people and God, to bring them a message, to bring them a whole series of messages, to teach them. But you see, it was so different in their thinking when the Lord spoke through Moses. Now you see, part of the reason for that happening in God's providence was that Moses would be an illustration. In fact, we can say that Moses would be a type of Christ. That there would be these points of similarity between Moses and Christ. And the one that we are to focus on just now is this, Moses as a prophet. Moses coming before the people to speak on behalf of God. Now, what you have is Christ coming to speak before people in this world on behalf of God. Now, yes, Christ is God, but he took to himself a human nature. And we are to think of Christ as the God-man. And there's this great provision that has been made that Christ comes where we are. Christ is God, yes, but Christ is man. There's mystery there, of course there is. But, you see, he is the man, Christ Jesus. He has a divine nature, he has a human nature. We're to receive the testimony that we have in Scripture concerning Christ, concerning the person of Christ. And you see, when we are to make use of him as an intercessor, when we are to come boldly to the throne of grace, you see, the humanity of Christ is emphasized to us. And so, when we are to be taught, we should be thinking of his humanity, not exclusively by any means, but this aspect of his person, this part of his person, his humanity, should be very much before us. He comes before us as the one who understands. You see, as the great high priest, he understands. As the great prophet, Christ understands. He grew in wisdom and knowledge. The person who grew in wisdom and knowledge as to his human nature, he still understands the need. He understands the experience of learning. And I'm just trying to speak in the light of these portions of Scripture. We're not to go beyond Scripture. But you see, what we have here is the revelation of a prophet. And we need a prophet. We need someone to teach us. We personally, individually, need someone to teach us. Christ has come. The God-man has come. It's not a mere man that is the prophet. Not a mere man. But yes, he has a human nature. But as the God-man, how effective his teaching. When he has a mind to teach a sinner, you can be sure that that sinner will learn. When the Lord has a mind to teach a sinner, you can be sure that a sinner will learn. And we are to be going to this great teacher, as we will notice further, I trust. But what I am turning to, or have turned to, is Peter, using our text in pointing to the people after the miracle that was wrought by Peter and John on the man who was lame from his mother's womb. And he speaks about Christ, Christ who was preached to them. And he says, Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. What he's saying to the people is, Christ is the one in whom Moses' prediction is fulfilled. The prophecy that Moses gave, it has been fulfilled in Christ. Now, there should be no question. Some have said a great deal about an element of the fulfillment of this being in terms of the whole series of prophets that were raised up. There may be something in that, but the main thing is it's fulfilled in Christ. That's what we're being pointed. It's fulfilled in the Son of God who became man, that sinners might know the way to heaven, that sinners might know the way that they are to take through this world. Yes. We read in 1 Timothy chapter 2 about the will of God for sinners to learn the truth. That God will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. He will have all men to be saved. And particularly from the context, one would understand that all men is all kinds of people, even the chief of sinners, if it comes to that, which not very long before Paul has used that expression in connection with himself. And Paul goes on to give us an explanation. If sinners are to come to the knowledge of the truth, how will that be? He says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men. How are sinners to come to the knowledge of the truth? It's because there is a mediator, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Now, you can take an implication from that, that there are ambassadors to go out, but let us look behind the ambassadors just now. When an ambassador speaks, and if through the preaching of that ambassador, someone is to be brought to the knowledge of the truth, what's happening? Well, this is happening, that the great prophet in glory is giving that sinner the knowledge of the truth. The great prophet in glory, the one who ascended on high, the one who leads captivity captive, the one who has received gifts for men, even for the rebellious also, the one who is exalted on high as a prophet to teach. He is bringing sinners to the knowledge of the truth. He is bringing sinners to the knowledge of the truth. Yes, there's the work of Christ as the great prophet. The great prophet to bring sinners to the knowledge of the truth. He works by his word and spirit, so that they will know the way of God for their salvation. They will know the way to the city. They will know their way to heaven. They may be stumbling over stones and stumbling over many a difficulty on the way. But you see, how will they take another step? It's because of this provision. Christ speaking through his word. Yes, and the preaching of the word. Is so that sinners it might be saved. You see, to take on a little further what I've been saying about the ambassadors. You see, when Christ was about to leave this world, you have it at the very end of Matthew, when he was about to leave them, he said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And he's got the idea of authority there also. Power, authority. They're both there. "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." How was that power to be exercised? In bringing sinners to the knowledge of the truth. He says to them, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." He says to human ambassadors. He is still the prophet when he ascends to glory. He is still the prophet on the throne there. But he is working it through his ambassadors. They're not able to achieve anything. They cannot bring directly a sinner to the knowledge of the truth. But you see, they are instruments in the hand of Christ. Instruments. Instruments. And he is using instruments. He sent them out to go and teach all nations so that sinners among them would be brought to the knowledge of the truth. The truth, as in the first place anyway, the truth as it affects their personal salvation, coming to know themselves as sinners, coming to know when Christ Jesus did, that he might be the Savior of sinners. What Christ is doing now from his place on the throne of glory, and ministers are going out as ambassadors for Christ, and he is saying, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." They do not need to despair. And we do not need to despair about the Church of Christ. When the great prophet has made this promise, "Lo, I am with you always." And of course, one of the great needs there is that this prophet, that he might continue the work of the church, that he would raise up, that he would call out. You see, that's part of his work as prophet. So to speak to the hearts of men that know, that already know him in a saving way, so to speak to their hearts, so that they feel the authority of Christ speaking to them with this command to go out and preach the gospel. Christ as prophet. And we should be asking this great prophet to speak to men, to send them out to preach the gospel. "Lo, I am with you always," he is saying. Now, there's this in connection with the prophet, that he works by the Holy Spirit. He works by the Holy Spirit. He was speaking of sending another comforter, the one who would, so to speak, stand beside sinners, or come and work within their hearts, to reprove them of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, to bring them to a knowledge of the truth in relation to sin, in relation to Christ as a Redeemer, in relation to the authority of Christ over everything, and that they were to submit to the authority of Christ. Now, if we just glance back at Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, and I quoted these words already, that Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at that scripture that the man had been reading, he preached unto him Jesus. Now, I mentioned the duty to preach the whole counsel of God, and perhaps I briefly made this point that I'm going to say make just now. He preached unto him Jesus, that whatever the preacher is to make known, whatever the minister is to preach about, it must be Jesus as the center of everything. This is to be the particular truth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. What, teach them what? Well, what is to be found in Scripture. But teach them what particularly? That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That Christ is the prophet on the throne of glory. He's the king also, of course. But he's the prophet. That we need him to teach us. That he has been provided so that we might be taught. He has been provided so that we might be taught. Yes, the man believed. The eunuch believed. Yes. And you can see a remarkable instance of Christ acting as prophet when he dealt with the woman of Samaria and Sychar by the well. And when he came to this, He's led her on, stage by stage, to see herself as a sinner, so that she might find her need. And she, with a degree of religious knowledge, speaks of the Messiah who was to come, the prophet, perhaps she had particularly in mind, given that it would seem that the Samaritans only accepted the five books of Moses as scripture. And the Savior said to her, I that speak unto thee am he. I am the Messiah, he said to her. And you see, he was speaking as a prophet. He was speaking as the prophet who could access her soul. He was working, we can be sure, in connection with the Holy Spirit. But in connection with the work of the Spirit, he had access to the woman's soul. What a prophet! Able to come and work in the soul of that sinner. And it's the same still. Christ as prophet, working by his word and spirit. And you'll probably recognize the words of the catechism question on Christ as prophet being brought out there. And let me just mention this before we go on. And that is the Lord still speaking as prophet to his people. Those whom he has spoken to. Those whom he has had an effect in their souls in connection with his word. But again, from Isaiah's prophecy, we have these words. As from Christ himself, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. A word at the proper time. He knows, you see. He has infinite knowledge as this prophet. I mean, we might wonder what it is our duty to say to somebody. A question is asked, perhaps. How is the question best answered? Well, here is the one we need, you see. The tongue of the learned, so that he knows how to speak what it is best to say. Let the people of God be asking that Christ would speak to them as a prophet who can say to them exactly what they most need to hear. But third point, and we should have tried to get to this sooner because it's important. Our duty to make use of this prophet. He is the one to whom you have a duty to listen. Him shall ye hear. Well, when the Savior told the people the parable of the sower, the disciples came to him to ask him about the parable. Then came the 12 and asked him of the parable. Well, whatever part of Scripture it is that we're not understanding, whatever important fact of Scripture it is that we feel has relevance to us and we don't understand, go to the prophet. Yes. Lord, teach me. We had that in Psalm 119. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. May the instruction that is in Scripture about how I should live, may that be brought to my soul. May that be brought to my soul. May the great prophet work in my soul. May I be taught the prophet working by the Holy Spirit. Oh, we need the Spirit. But we need the Spirit in connection with Christ as a prophet. Now, in many a thing, there is mystery. It's beyond our understanding. And that's true in what I'm saying just now. But wherever there is mystery, we're to go to the prophet. He will teach us what we need to know. Many a thing we don't need to know. And there's many a thing that's not absolutely necessary to know. But there are things that are. And there are things that are good for us to know. Although they wouldn't be so absolutely necessary as other things. But we're to be asking that the Lord would instruct us. You see, the Lord is saying to us, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. And if the Holy Spirit will take these things and reveal them to us inwardly, so that we would get some beginning of an understanding, then what a blessing that would be. What a blessing to get some beginning of an understanding and then to keep coming to this prophet so that we would get an increasing understanding. You see, Philip, that's not the Philip I've been speaking about, Philip the evangelist, but Philip the apostle, that he took Jesus as his prophet, when he said to his friend, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and in the prophets did write. We have found the great prophet. Was that what was in his mind when he referred to Moses? We have found the great prophet. And saying, come and see. Ah, how often I'm sure one person who has found the prophet has said to another, come and see. Come and see this prophet. Come and listen to this prophet. Oh, people might have said, come and listen. And have said, of course they have. They come and listen to this preacher. And that's relevant. But here is something more. Come and listen to Christ. How can we listen to Christ? We can listen to him speaking through the pages of Scripture, but not just the very words of Jesus that he spoke as a man. But the whole of Scripture is what Christ brings as a prophet. And not forgetting this, one of the matters I have emphasized is that Christ speaks through his ambassadors. And that when we're listening to Christ's ambassadors, we should be wanting Christ to speak to us. That's what we should be wanting, that we would get good from things. How will we get good from a sermon? How will we get good from reading the Word of God? It's that Christ would come, spiritually, of course, that what Christ would come in the exercise of his divine power to speak to our souls, to speak, as it were, into our souls, and to apply the truth to us by the Holy Spirit. Yes, but we should notice this before we conclude. The warning that you have at verse 19, it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he, the prophet, shall speak in my name, I will require it of. The responsibility to listen to what Christ is saying to us. There's the work of Christ as prophet when he was dealing with the disciples after his resurrection, and he instructed them from the Old Testament scriptures, and he opened their understandings that they might understand the scriptures. And we are to ask that Christ, as the great prophet, would open our understandings. But I leave you with a question. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? If we neglect the prophet that is speaking and calling us to come to him, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might be saved. May he bless his word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy, Lord, bless thy truth. May we have Christ to speak to us. May he be present among us. May he follow us with the truth. May we get good from it. Grant that we would be brought savingly to believe in Christ and to receive him as our prophet, our priest, and our king. Pardon us and bless us and keep us and make us thankful. For Jesus' sake, amen.